This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly old permission to get in that mothership?
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Gonna have a good day around here as we always do aboard the mothership. We're happy to be here with you. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Rocket Mortgage is giving away $2.5 million prizes during Super Bowl 55 that could be used to buy your dream home. See rules and enter for free today at RocketMortgageSweepstakes.com. We appreciate you being with us, and that was the laughter of Little Mo. Each and every day I post on Instagram another feel-good picture, a good mojo picture. So check that out by following me on Instagram at Damon Amendo. You can check out the old ones as well in the Instagram stories. Hashtag good mojo. That's what we're talking about this morning here on the show and every morning aboard the mothership. Coming up in 2 hours, we've got Billy White Shoes Johnson, who's going to join us. One of the great kick returners ever in NFL history. A member of the NFL's all-time 100th anniversary team last year. He'll drop on by, do the funky chicken with us in his white cleats aboard the mothership. We'll dance, have a good time, and laugh. He's one of the great characters in NFL history. He'll join us to look ahead to divisional round weekend of the NFL. Now, we got two head coaches that have been hired. The Jacksonville Jaguars have hired Urban Meyer, and the New York Jets late last night announced that they are hiring Robert Saleh, the defensive coordinator from the San Francisco 49ers. Let's talk about both these guys, starting with the Urban Meyer hire. Urban Meyer has done some shady things in his career. He has left coaching, suggesting that his health just wasn't going to allow him to coach anymore, or he wanted to spend time with his family. And seemingly every time there's another big money job out there, suddenly his health gets really great and he doesn't care about his family anymore. That's Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer is not a guy you'd trust with many things, except winning football games. Urban Meyer is not one of those good guys of the profession, but he wins football games. Urban Meyer, this is a good hire for the Jacksonville Jaguars because the Jags get a guy who is a culture builder. He has built things from the ground up. He has taken little engines that could and made them great, like at Utah. He has delivered national championships. He's delivered big-time winning, and he has set the course for programs. He has not done it in the NFL, but he has done this multiple times, Utah, Florida, Ohio State, in college. So for the Jaguars, look, you can go down the road of a young coordinator that may or may not be good, like a Gus Bradley. I would take Bradley. That didn't work. You could go down the road of head coach that had been a previous head coach somewhere else, like Doug Marrone. That worked for a moment, but not overall. Or you can go down the road of a Marvin Lewis, a Jim Caldwell, guys that have had jobs before, which may work, but this is a home run swing and you could have hit it out of the park. So I'm totally fine with this hire. Doesn't mean I like Urban Meyer personally. Doesn't mean I trust Urban Meyer. Doesn't mean that I would stump for him to win any type of leadership or courage award. But I think he wins games, and I could totally understand the allure of hiring him in Jacksonville. From an Urban Meyer standpoint, man, this is a great job. This is a great job. Number one, you've got number one. The first round, first overall franchise quarterback draft pick in Trevor Lawrence. Walk it in the same day that you walk in. That's a good way to start. Number two, you have an ownership that has proven to be very patient over the years. Number three, you've got low expectations and a very laid-back media market. This is not going to some vicious place that's expecting results right away with five different beat reporters and 10 different tabloid journalism or tabloid newspapers and multiple sports radio stations banging on you every single day. It's not what's going to happen there. You're not going to have tons of scrutiny, so you get some leeway. You also have a lot of draft picks this year, a lot of draft collateral, and you have a lot of spending money. You've got big-time salary cap space, I think $100 million of salary cap space to spend. So, in a division that is winnable, this is a great job. It checks all of the boxes. Plus, he's got a built-in fan base that are Gator fans and Jacksonville Jaguars fans. I mean, they play the world's largest outdoor cocktail party in Jacksonville every single year. There is definitely a crossover Venn diagram where there are Gators fans that are definitely Jaguars fans. So, there's a couple of wins here for Urban Meyer. Is there a guarantee he turned them into winners? No, but this is absolutely a credible risk to take for the Jaguars. I have no qualms about the Jaguars offering this job to Urban Meyer. Because, let's face it, the Jaguars have treaded in irrelevance for a long time. And they have a chance now to reset everything, and they're going to do so with a guy that has done his own resets before. There's no guarantee that a college coach with a lot of success walks into the NFL and has the success. We saw Nick Saban flame out relatively quickly, and that's Nick freaking Saban. We've seen Jim Harbaugh have immediate success, but then that wane and fizzle out as well, and now nobody wants him in the NFL. We have seen college coaches try to do it, Bobby Petrino, and fail miserably. So there are those examples. There's also Pete Carroll. And I know that Pete Carroll was an NFL coach before going to college, but he was not a successful head coach in the NFL and went to college and figured out the secret sauce, what worked for him, and helped create the dynasty, the biggest reason they were a dynasty at USC. Well, also their checkbooks were pretty deep. They paid well. But Pete Carroll then comes to the NFL and is far more established and understands what it's going to take to win. So it can work from the flip side as well. Matt Rhule's first year in the NFL was a pretty good success. The Panthers were better than a lot of people thought that they would be. Far more plucky, far more competitive, and that a lot of people around Carolina believe Matt Rhule has the plan. So there's evidence that it can work. If you're the Jaguars, I think it's a calculated risk and one that you got to take, and I applaud it. And there's no guarantee they turn into winners, but I will take my shot with a guy that has that reputation, or at least that resume. His reputation, let's face it, is a little shaky. But his resume is a winner and a builder of programs and turning things around and getting you to an elite status. I'll take my chances right now with Urban Meyer. So I like that hire for the Jaguars, even though there's no guarantee they turn him into winners. For the Jets, I also like the Robert Saleh hire. And I like the Jets going with Robert Saleh for this reason. He has a lot of credibility around NFL circles as being organized, as being accountable, as being a guy that you can depend on. And those are things right now that I think the Jets are in desperate need of. Adam Gase was not that. Adam Gase was a loose cannon. He was a live wire. He was awkward socially. He didn't look the part. And I'm not so big into looking the part because you could have Bill Belichick, but in your introductory press conference to have your boogly eyes scanning the room and then memes of digital tacos floating by becoming your signature, you want somebody that just looks like they're comfortable in their own skin. You don't want somebody who's, again, a loose cannon like Rex Ryan was. But you also want a guy that is a commanding presence. And Robert Saleh appears that way. He's handsome. He's well put together. He's led a great defense for a while now. And he just looks like he is comfortable in a position of leadership. Rex Ryan was a loose cannon. Todd Bowles was really uncomfortable in the position of being the face of a franchise. And Adam Gase was a crazy crackpot. You need somebody that just looks like I got it under control. And Saleh does. Saleh also this year, with a boatload of injuries riddling his defense in San Francisco, led them to the sixth best defense in football. That's a hell of an accomplishment. And Saleh must see something in the Jets to where he thinks that's a good enough job to take, because apparently he was offered the Browns job last year and declined, and has, I'm sure, had a lot of interest because we've been talking about him as the next head coach of the NFL for years now. So Saleh must have had other options and decided on the Jets for some reason. Maybe it's the vision of Joe Douglas, a GM. Maybe it's because they have a pretty good situation in that they have a quarterback that they can either trade for draft capital or stick with Sam Darnold and have the number two draft pick for other draft capital or solving a different position, like wide receiver, like offensive lineman, like something. Adam Schefter reported yesterday that the Jets' plan right now is to go with Sam Darnold and then use that number two pick on either an offensive lineman, perhaps a wide receiver, or trade out of it, that they would go with Sam Darnold. I think it's a good situation. Now, it's a bad division to be in because you're banging your head up against a Bills team that's ascending, a Dolphins team that's ascending, and a Patriots team that's always going to be two tough games a year. But quarterback, GM, you have cap space, and maybe you love the New York thing as well. So I like this hire from a Jet standpoint. So in terms of both of these guys, I actually like what the Jaguars did. I like what the Jets did. I think both those teams hired the right people for their positions. Mraz, I want to start with Robert Saleh here because this broke late last night. Do you think this is the right guy for the Jets?
It's hard to think he's not. And look, the one thing that I think we all need to take into account when it comes to judging head coaches that we've never seen be a head coach before is that, of course, we don't know, but just basing it on, okay, Robert Saleh's defense was good, so he's got to be good, or Eric Bieniemy's offense is good, he's got to be good. We got to hear how they sound as voices of reason in that role and in that interview room. And one thing became very clear through this hiring process over the last week: teams couldn't wait after their initial Zoom interviews to bring Robert Saleh in for second interviews. The Lions did it, the Jets did it. Obviously, the Eagles, after firing Doug Peterson, basically were trying to whisk him away from the Jets' second interview and get him there. So there was something in the interview that and the process that resonated. And I think you hit on a lot of that. It's accountability. He sounds like a head coach. He sounds like he's somebody who's going to be a leader of men and a leader in a room. So, yeah, I think if that many teams are salivating over it, and it's just not one of those where, with Adam Gase, where Peyton Manning's picking up the phone call and putting in a good word, I don't know how you're not excited as a Jet fan, because it feels like, forget the defensive side of this for a second. I know that'll be the argument that, oh, they're going to probably draft the quarterback, or they have Sam Darnold, but they're bringing in a defensive mind. Forget the defense or offensive mind. They need a leader in that room, a real adult in the room. I hate to steal a line from Gettleman, and I think they got that.
He's confident.
Yeah.
He's very confident and comfortable in his own skin. He's very energetic. So he exudes a lot of the qualities that you want to see on the sideline. It's a little bit like Mike Vrabel. He's a little bit more
That's a good comp.
Animated than Mike Vrabel, but Vrabel was a coordinator. Vrabel was an assistant coach, but he always carried himself with the confidence of, I got this. And if I'm the head coach, I got it. And when he's been the head coach, he gives off the vibe of, I got this. And I think that Salah will be a more animated version of this. No guarantee that it works. No guarantee any of this stuff works. But in terms of the composure and the personality makeup of the guy that the Jets got, he looks and feels like it's an upgrade over, again, Rex Ryan's loosey-goosey, say whatever you want to say, no attention to detail. Todd Bowles, who always felt uncomfortable being himself in front of the media, perhaps feeling like everything would be twisted out of context. And Adam Gase, who was just a crazy person. So that is going to be a comfortable fit for the Jets. Now, you got to win. I mean, if he goes 3-13 next year, there's going to be plenty of Jets fans saying, this guy's a bum, get him out of here, you know, just another joke for the Jets. But at the moment, I think that Jets fans should be excited about that. When we come back here on the DA Show, we continue breaking down divisional round weekend around the NFL. We've got your best audio of the day that's coming up here next, and that includes Gio doing his DA Show impersonation again. It's straight ahead. Target Demo Friday. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
We begin with Dick Vermeil, who once upon a time said in a press conference that I was covering in Kansas City, let's give kadoos to so-and-so. He meant to say kudos, and I'll never forget Dick Vermeil pronouncing kudos, kadoos. So if you want to give somebody some props, make sure you give them the proper kadoos this weekend. Here is Dick Vermeil taking away kadoos, however, from Deshaun Watson, saying that Deshaun Watson's being a baby. This Vermeil audio courtesy of TMZ. What is this, from The Onion? Here is Vermeil.
Well, I think they changed his diapers, okay? His contract, nowhere in his contract does it say that he's involved in making the decisions who coaches or who leads the organization. And I think when players get outside the role of what they really are, he's a great NFL football player and always has been a great kid. But I think he just shuts his mouth and becomes a better football player and lead the football team and let the leaders of the organization lead him. To me, he's going to only play one place. Now, I don't have any more knowledge about Houston. I used to have a little bit more because I knew the head coach. But I just don't see him playing any place else. And I see him calming down, maturing a little bit, and go be a good football player and earn the money they're paying.
Merez, when I saw the credit was Dick Vermeil TMZ, I figured that they were getting Dick Vermeil at an airport or something like that, coming out of a restaurant. That was actually like a sit-down interview with TMZ,
yeah,
huh?
They had him like full-blown on Zoom. I mean, maybe he was pushing the wine. I don't know why they needed to track down Dick Vermeil to get his thoughts on Watson. But put the diapers on him.
That's rough. I mean, Watson's one of the best quarterbacks in football. He won a national championship at Clemson when nobody could win a national championship there, beating Alabama and Nick Saban when it appeared that Nick Saban and Alabama could never be beaten. This year he throws for nearly 5,000 yards, 33 touchdowns against only 8 interceptions. And everybody around the NFL knows that the Texans are a dysfunctional, toxic mess right now. And because Deshaun Watson's unhappy, Dick Vermeil says, clean out your diaper? Yeah. Talk about old school. And I really like Dick Vermeil. He is one of the most genuine personalities that we have in the sport. And we've had him on the show a couple of times. And I had some great memories of covering his Chiefs teams in Kansas City. But telling Deshaun Watson to clean out his diaper? I mean, Andre Johnson's like, guys, Jack Easterby is a nightmare. DeAndre Hopkins is like, guys, listen to Andre Johnson. J.J. Watt is like, guys, our culture sucks. And Deshaun Watson doesn't like him. And it's, this guy should clean out his diaper over here. His big baby filled up that big diaper full of stinky poop. You know, like, get your pacifier. You're staying in the carpet here, Deshaun Watson. tough. Okay, so let me try this. Two Colorado Avs players are on the podium, and they are talking about how the Avs will play in the Winter Classic game at Lake Tahoe. Unfortunately, the game is not played on the lake. It's not like a frozen part of the lake, and you can look down underneath the ice and see fish swimming around. This is going to be played on a golf course next to the lake. And so here is Andrei Burakovsky and Pierre-Edouard Belmar discussing this, and Burakovsky thinks it's going to be actually on the water. Here's the clip.
I'm excited about it. Yeah. I have never skated on a lake my entire life.
We're not skating on a lake, though.
Huh?
It's not on the lake.
It's not on the lake?
No, it's beside lake.
No!
Yeah.
I thought it was on Lake Tahoe.
We're playing on the 18th fairway, bro.
No! I didn't even know.
You can take it.
For real? Oh, you just crushed my dreams.
Okay, I got that mixed up. There's about two people in the world that care that I got that mixed up. It's Pierre-Edouard Belmar, who was excited to play on Lake Tahoe. It's Andrei Burakovsky, who had to correct him. But you have to love the, oh, no.
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 Oh, no.
You just crushed my dreams.
You just crushed my dreams.
That's a French-Canadian Muppet voice. That's Sean doing a French-Canadian Fozzie.
No.
No.
You just crushed my dreams.
You just crushed my dreams. No.
Imagine how many people he called to say, you wouldn't believe it, I'm finally playing on a real lake.
Okay.
So this is what I'm wondering here. Did Pierre-Edouard Belmar think that it was going to be like a frozen lake that they play on, kind of like you grow up playing pond hockey? Or did he think that it was a stadium built on top of the ice? I mean, there's virtually no way to safely play an NHL game on water. So I was assuming that it was going to be to the side of the lake. And maybe there was an island in the middle of the lake, but I mean, I did not expect it to be on the ice of the lake. Is that what he expected?
No.
I guess. I mean, the only thing I can relate this to is when I thought when they were playing the baseball game at Field of Dreams, it was on the actual field where the movie was shot, not something built off to the side. But I feel like this is a much worse assumption. Because you said, DA, yeah, there's guys who play pond hockey in all these northern parts of the world all over the place, but that ice can break. And if it breaks in the second period, you can't just continue the game.
Yeah, I mean, you can't hold an NHL game on frozen ice with a deep lake underneath.
You just crushed my dreams.
Oh, no. Oh, no, there goes Pierre-Edouard Belmar. He's fallen into the ice. He's fallen into the water. Somebody fish him out.
And how would the Zamboni get on the lake to clean that up?
I mean, I guess there's going to be no fans in attendance for this one, so we don't have to worry about the stands, but you know, that's another thing. Like, they usually have 100,000 people there that you would not want in stanchions or stands on top of ice. on top of a lake. Oh, no. You crushed my dreams.
No.
No. So, how similar does that sound to when we run late on a break and that's what Pete says behind the scenes?
No. No. No.
Close.
How about that's Pete coming back from break. Okay, DA, we're going to do the CBS sports read. Okay, got it. And then I launch into a Geico read, and then Pete goes, no.
No.
You crushed my dreams, DA.
He did say something similar a week or two ago. Another year, DA's just blowing the reads I gave him.
You just crushed my dreams.
No.
No.
That is also our boss when we start talking about diarrhea and farts from Russell Wilson.
Diarrhea poop.
No.
No. Not again.
No.
This is our boss when we do another segment about Peter Schwartz.
No.
Oh, you guys. Oh,
why
no.
Are you doing it?
You crushed my dreams.
No.
No. No.
Just crushed my dreams.
No. Give me one more.
Pete's out and only Shep's available.
No. No.
That's me getting the schedule when Shep is on schedule. That's when the boss tells me the only guy we can have fill in on the board is Shep because of holiday staffing limitations.
No.
That's me when I find out DA only remembered to take off New Year's Day a week ahead of time.
No.
Here's the sound of all the kids on the JV basketball team when Shep shows up for practice.
No.
Here's me trying to play Russell Wilson last hour.
No.
Here's Shep's girlfriend when he insists by gunpoint she admit publicly that she's his girlfriend.
No.
Oh, no. That's terrible.
Get him out.
The gun's only a rumor.
Say it. Say it on video for everybody so I can tweet it out.
I was going to say, here's me when you guys ask if I texted Maggie anything before the screenshot.
No.
The moment immediately after Mraz tells me he had an oopsie during the PGP.
No.
Not the Connecticut.
And finally, the other day.
No. No.
This is me seeing Sean wearing a branded hat and t-shirt this morning.
No.
Oh, there's Schwartz tweeting at another food establishment looking for a free hand-me-out.
No!
No.
There's the food establishment telling Pete they're not going to give him anything for free. No!
No.
No.
Finally, Steve Cohen, new owner of the New York Mets, asked on Twitter, give me some ideas to help freshen up Citi Field. And every time I go to Citi Field, I always have these ideas. Oh, this would be cool. This would be cool. This would be cool. And so one of my ideas was, I feel like the Wilpons were very embarrassed comparatively to the Yankees of only having two championships. And so they really hid any of the success of the team. You know, the Yankees proudly and understandably so have their banners all over the place, have their pennants all over the place, huge pictures of all the icons of Yankees lore. And I love that about Yankee Stadium. You go through there, you get to see all the banners, all the championships. You get to see the Hall of Legends, which I think is really cool. And that's a really cool part of the Yankees. I always felt like the Mets were super embarrassed that they weren't the Yankees. And so there's largely no banners to the 86 and 69 teams besides a couple of little pennants in right field. So I always felt like, you know what, put these on display. I mean, there's a lot of franchises that have never had a championship, let alone two in the last 55 years or so. So I tweeted that to Steve Cohen. Apparently, Schwartz also tweeted at Steve Cohen, which immediately made my heart drop that I was in the same camp as Schwartz. And so this made me feel about an inch tall when I heard this. So Boomer and Gio the other day were reading and discussing both me and Schwartz's tweets at Steve Cohen. And here's how it went.
Peter Schwartz said a personalized baseball card booth. That's what he wanted. It's a grown man with a family.
Well, you just add something. It makes the fan engagement better, that's all.
Damon Amendolara, he said he wants massive banners celebrating the 69 and 86 World Series.
I want spaceship parking
for my spaceship. The World's Fair. That's where I'll put my spaceship like Men in Black. Massive banners celebrating 69 and 86 World Series. They could be set inside the light stands.
I love Gio's impersonation of me. This really made me feel terrible, though. I got lumped in with Schwartz's tweets. Just awful. And also, I mean, Schwartz wants a personalized baseball card stand. What does that even mean?
I don't even
mean?
Know what that means. Yeah.
He wants like a photo booth where you go yes. in there and you act as though you're on the Mets and you take a photo, which of course is yet another chance for a souvenir to take home. Is that what this bid is here?
Yes, it's basically a photo booth where they'll print, you know, his kids' faces on a Topps card or something like that in Mets gear, and you get your own baseball card.
It's a like grown man with a family.
It's kind of like, I'm sure you could hire it. I think you could, like, buy one of these booths. Not just the photo booth, but the baseball card ones for, like, kids' parties.
Yeah. Yeah, you get it for a kid's 10th birthday. You
right.
don't put it at Citi Field. I mean, that's his ad.
And also, once you've gotten that once, like, is that something you need to have your kids keep getting every time you go to Citi Field? Is, oh, let's get one more baseball card where I look exactly the same?
Well, and it's also classic Schwartz that he's just looking for the Mets to add something that he can take home. I mean, don't you have enough crap at home, Schwartz? You have 600 baseballs from Long Island Ducks games. You have a stinky sock from a G League basketball game. Okay, you got programs from every high school PA announcement that she ever did, high school football game. And they're all hanging on the walls like this is Canton or Cooperstown. Don't you have enough crap? Now you need to go to Citi Field and have the kids go into a, stuff themselves into a photo booth on a hot July night to superimpose, you know, a Howard Johnson batting helmet on them? I mean, honestly, is this is the change you want? I just want to see some representation of the two greatest moments in franchise history. I just want to look at that and say, oh, yeah, you know what? We don't always suck. There was two times in 60 years we didn't suck. There were only two times, but I want to be reminded that we don't always suck all the time. What Schwartz wants is another giveaway. You know, it's just like, please build more stuff so I can stuff my garage like a hoarder full of dopey, meaningless, worthless crap.
Well, it's very clear DA wants to distance himself from the Schwartz idea tweet and know, and let Steve Cohen know that their ideas are very, very different and they are very, very different people. And it should be just one caveat to that, a reminder that he's tweeting the Mets owner about his idea and he's a Yankee fan.
Yeah, Schwartz, that's right. He is a Yankee fan. His wife is a Mets fan, but he's a Yankee fan.
Right. So the idea that a Yankee fan.
But his kids are Mets fans, so they had like a fandom draft when they had them. Is that how this worked?
Look, the beat reporter of the Schwartz family knows the deal. Mraz, give us the background on this because this is a very well-known story.
He's repeated this a number of times. When he got married to his wife, he said, okay, we can split the teams, but I need one team then, and they need to be Islander fans. As if, and there has never been one pushback from his wife that she's a Ranger fan or something like that, and that his kids wouldn't be Islander fans. So then she got the Mets because she cares about the Mets. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, there was like a fan draft, Bogues. Right. You're right. So he got the Islanders, and she got the Mets for the two kids.
But again, I don't understand that they wouldn't have not been Islander fans because it's not like she's some kind of thumping Ranger fan. It doesn't make any sense.
So she might have had the number one pick in the draft and took the Mets, and then he was at number two. I guess he should have pushed Jets on him, but maybe she's a Jets fan too. I'm not sure.
Yeah, so good job, Pete. And no offense to you Mets fans, but you know, you have all these loser franchises, and you had one out to make your teams root for a winning franchise, the Yankees, and you chose not to. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's a poor choice. Pete the Body Bilotti also had a suggestion for Steve Cohen as well. What was your suggestion for Citi Field?
Well, two suggestions. One, I wanted a Kiner's Corner bar in left field. I thought that'd be a nice little touch.
Kiner's Corner was at a Ralph Kiner's post-game show throughout the 70s and 80s and even into the 90s, I think, that is kind of a beloved tradition for Mets fans. So a Kiner's Corner, which would be very cool as a bar.
And then a Empire State Building, a giant replica of the Empire State Building hammer game. So whenever a Met hit a home run, mm-hmm. someone who's a designated fan for the day can uh-huh. hit that hammer game and win some money, win a prize, win something like that.
So you kind of want it to be like the carnival, a carnival at Citi Field.
Well, I mean, my thought of that was Bernie Brewer. When he goes down the slide,
uh-huh.
not going to do that same thing, do something a little different after they hit a home run.
Well, they do have the apple, though. The apple comes
up. They raise an apple, Pete. They already have a home run.
Add something else to it.
Oh, how many times are you going to do something when a home run gets hit? An apple gets raised? Now you're going to have somebody come from Section 343 to wave a sledgehammer and hit and an Empire State? Like, where are you even coming up with this?
Hey, they want to be creative ideas.
And by the way, what do you want, a fan to sit his ass out in center field with a big sledgehammer for 9 innings? What if the Mets don't homer? Then what? The guy wasted his time for 3 hours at the game?
No, it's you make it an experience.
What experience? What are you going to put a photo booth for a baseball card next to him? And also, Kiner's
Corner. No, he stays
in
an Airbnb.
Right. Kiner's Corner Bar. Yeah, Pete wants it. Then the moment he pays $14 for a Bud Light, he'll be the first one cursing out the bartender after. Your ideas stink, Pete. You know what? The more I read DA's tweets, DA was on. Your ideas stink.
Well, what are the other ideas? Let's paint the seats. Okay, everyone has that idea.
Right. Okay, Pete, but you don't have to have an idea, just have an idea.
You know,
have the idea be
get
good.
Get out. Enough of you. Why don't you go get another shirt made for yourself?
Mraz, your idea was to paint the seats?
No, I didn't have an idea because I'm not a Met fan and don't care.
Yeah, that was a popular one to repaint the seats like they were at Shea, orange and blue and green and red.
Stupid. That was ugly. It was built in 1964 because in 1964.
But that's why
that
it was
cool.
Shea Stadium, though. I actually don't mind that.
Yeah, Pete had a third idea. Get the squirt gun into the clown's mouth and have balloons in center field.
The clown being Bobby Valentine.
Yeah.
And it blows Andy Chavez up the wall.
How about a day where we have all our personalized Twitter handles on hats and they give them out?
Oh,
this morning, Mraz is wearing his @MrazCBS hat. Yes, his hat has @MrazCBS on it. That's all it says on it. So he's really promoting himself.
No.
Andrew Bogish has our headlines. Mr. Bogues, what do we got?
DA, these ones are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. With insurance for cars, home, boat, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. Urban Meyer to the Jaguars, Robert Saleh to the Jets. Two fewer head coaching vacancies in the NFL this morning. Saleh coming cross-country after making the Niners a top-five defense. He's expected to bring Mike LaFleur with him to run the Jets' offense. Maybe the Falcons follow suit today. They have offered their job to Titans' offense. Offensive coordinator Arthur Smith, that according to friend of the show Diana Rossini. In the NBA last night, the Nuggets took care of the Warriors 114-104. The Rockets are 1-for-1 post James Harden, 109-105 winners in San Antonio. The Pacers thumped the Blazers 111-87. Toronto 111, Charlotte 108, and the Sixers down the Heat 125-108. Shake Milton with 31 points in that one. It looks like the Yankees blinked. Second baseman DJ LeMahieu reportedly re-signing after flirting with some other clubs. Financial details not out there just yet. Now, how about some overtime hockey in Winnipeg?
Money moving in. Lars shot. Oh, he scores! Patrick Laine, the hero tonight. His second goal of the hockey game is a game winner. Jets win! Jets win! Jets win! In overtime!
Oh, that's great. Oh, it's a great call.
I just tried to shake my head at Bogues and make him think the cut didn't fire to see him go nuts, and he didn't.
No.
No.
I was watching you. You almost had me, but me and Pete tested it in the break, so I think it was okay.
Is that their first game that they played? So this is the first? Yes. This is the opener for them. I mean, that's an announcer going crazy on opening night for goal. There's 81 more of them. Are they playing a full 82 games?
No, 55.
So there's 54 more of those. That is amazing energy in game number one.
And I do think this Canadian division is awesome for those fans, that all they get to do is beat up on each other in Canada all year. Those fans are going to love that.
Yeah, no doubt. Are they playing in Canada or here in the States?
In Canada, but only the Canadian teams play the Canadian teams all year.
So they've allowed travel between provinces.
Yes, between provinces, yes, but you can't cross into the United States.
Okay.
They've even sequestered referees and stuff up there. They're only staying in Canada. They're not coming back and forth to the U.S. either.
And then what happens when they make the playoffs?
We'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Okay, okay. Haven't gotten that far yet.
Bettman's those are going to be on Lake Tahoe.
Wake me up in March. We'll figure it out.
quick college hoops last night. Number one, Gonzaga took care of Pepperdine, 95-70. That is 40 straight wins head-to-head for the Zags. And now back to you.
Thank you very much, Bogues. It is a Target Demo Friday, so let us know where you are, how you're listening, and what you're doing for the divisional round weekend of football games, and we'll read through those coming up here later on in the show. You'll know the meme for Target Demo Friday because it's me and Mraz aged like 50 years, and it's horrifying and terrible. It's Cap's meme in honor of Brady and Breeze. Brady posted a meme of himself and Breeze looking really old and the game being comically played on the History Channel. So Cap did it for us. And again, what the DA show is going to look like in 40 years or so is absolutely horrifying. When we come back, the Browns are big underdogs in this game, double digits. Can they pull the upset? DA, CBS Sports.
A no sweatpants at work zone.
They're partners. You mean DA doesn't invite Marash to things with him?
Guess
like
not.
That?
DA explained to us, this is a big dinner, it's a big agency, and I can't have Marash there rubbing garlic bread all over his cheeks. You know, so, I mean, imagine that.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Sunday, the NFL playoffs continue on CBS as the surging Browns visit Patrick Mahomes and the defending Super Bowl champion Chiefs. Kickoff set for just after 3 p.m. Eastern time. Who takes the next step on the road to the Super Bowl? Find out this weekend when the AFC divisional round plays out only on CBS. I want Jack Youngblood's laugh. So the Browns are a 10-point underdog in this game. Do I think they can win? Look, it's a 1 in 100 shot. There's a shot. There's always a shot. There's always a shot because the Cleveland Browns last week proved something to themselves, which is the most important thing. And that is we can play and we can win in the playoffs and we can beat the really good teams of the NFL. And I know that the Steelers haven't played well recently. I know that the Steelers have their own fair share of problems, but you get to the playoffs, you finally break through that glass ceiling, which you hadn't been in such a long time, and you jump out on top of the Steelers 28-0, and then when things get close in the third and fourth quarters, you then pull away again, you prove something to yourself. And they didn't have Kevin Stefanski on the sideline. So the idea that the Browns can't win this game, there's no way they can win this game, that's ludicrous. Any team in the playoffs is good enough to win a playoff game. We've seen crazier upsets of the past. I mean, nobody thought the 07 Patriots could possibly be beaten by a 10-6 Giants team. It just so happened on that day, they did. So it's crazy to think it could never happen. Do I think it's going to happen? No, I don't, because I don't think the Chiefs are the type of team that is vulnerable to this type of upset. It's not that the Chiefs can't be beaten, okay? It's not that the Chiefs are invulnerable. It's not that they will absolutely win the Super Bowl. It's not that. It's that this Chiefs team, I don't believe, is vulnerable to this type of upset. What I mean by that is when you are a 10-point favorite in the playoffs, you have got to feel really good about yourself and not take the opponent seriously to be victim of the upset, okay? If you are a 10-point favorite, you've got to be overconfident, and the opponent you have to feel has no shot and that you are just at a totally different level. And I don't believe that the Chiefs are that type of overconfident team, because I don't believe Andy Reid ever allows you to be that way. I think Andy Reid might go on the other side of things where he makes you feel like you're worse than you are, and it's sometimes that might make you tight. I think that might have been a problem with the Philadelphia Eagles at times, and maybe even his early Chiefs days. I don't think he ever lets you think that you're better than you are. So that's part of the recipe that you would get beat here. Now, the other thing that I said, you start losing and you get tight. And that was an Andy Reid staple, unfortunately, with the Eagles and maybe early on in the Chiefs days. But I think with Patrick Mahomes, that doesn't exist either for the Chiefs. The Chiefs can lose because if you match up against the Chiefs well, and you have a great quarterback as well, and you have a really smart head coach, and you've got a really experienced laden team. Look, the Chiefs can be beat by a really good team. I don't think they can be beat in this scenario, because Mahomes will never let you get tight. He's just not a quarterback that suddenly goes, uh-oh, what are we going to do? Uh-oh, I don't feel confident. Uh-oh, we're not getting it done. He just like, give me the ball back. Give me the ball back. I'll get it done. Give me the ball back. So I don't think that the Chiefs will lose this game. I don't think that one of those 1-in-100 upsets are going to happen this weekend for the Cleveland Browns.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.